Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you want, babe. It's what you need, babe. We got to give you more.
That's been pent up inside for years. Exclusive type, only for your eyes and ears. You held it in for so long, you burst it into tears. The letter spills slowly across the page like a world premiere. We're lying, the bullshit begins here. The obvious cause, the effects is unclear. The punishment for crimes of the heart could be severe. Though to keep it on the low is a heavy cross to bear. You deep now, submerged with no signs of air. Still your sunken heart thumping like the kick in the snare. While on the surface, it's all turning to a circus. That's why you're nervous and you got a right to be. Cause if somebody would've done that to me, I mean my best man hitting my wife to be, my sentiments exactly would be history. You know what I'm saying? Eh, my people's in a place left out of
one, two.
Tell me
what
y'all
to do. Next four, it's time for all of your suggestions. Rock and rolls in your rolling rock. Then your mind to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Nothing changed, it's all the same thing. The same characters in the book with different names. It's a lot more to lose than you got to gain. You a lot more confused than hip to the game. To beat the script to the game, the price is pain. Men and women get into things, now who's to blame? When everybody whispering about whatever took place and how the fact was denied with a straight face. Them lies hard to swallow from the bitter taste, but that's a point in the past that can't be erased. So motivate, though it's hard to let it ride or set aside true feelings. Underhand dealing, a lost trust. I wonder if we lost us. It's bigger than me and you, it's monstrous. So I'ma just calm down and try to relax before I clap the hammer, then the hammer I tap. Count
1, 2,
tell me
what
y'all to do.
3, 4,
it's
time for all your suggestions.
Rock and roll
in your rolling rock. Then your mind to the rhythm and just don't stop. 5, 6, get up inside the mix. 7, 8, no time to hesitate. So let's rock and roll in your rolling rock.
Good Wednesday evening, listeners, and welcome to another Wednesday of Conversations of a Sister here on Blog Talk Radio, where my goal is to bring you provocative conversations as well as thought-provoking dialogue. And I'm your host, Ms. Tracy L. Bell, of course, and I thank you for tuning in tonight, be it online or by phone, for tonight's conversation, which is Polygamy in 2016, would you share your man? And, of course, I'm talking to the ladies when I say that. And I will be taking your calls in the studio on this subject at 1-917-889-7872. Again, that number is 1-917-889-7872. Just press 1 to speak with me, the host. You will have 2 seconds to voice your opinion on tonight's subject, but that is the call-in number. On to our topic, polygamy in 2016. Would you share your man? Now, with several reality shows, Sister Wives being one of them, addressing and showing the life of polygamy marriage, how common is polygamy in today's society? For those of my listeners who do not or may not know what polygamy is, let me just explain it to you. Polygamy involves marriage to more than one woman at the same time. It is the fact of having multiple female mates. Oftentimes, when polygamy becomes the subject of discussion in today's society, it is criticized by the majority. Why? Because it is not an obligated rule. It is a permissible act to some, and maybe even in some states. But the unsurpassed and most productive of all marriages are monogamous. And maybe that's my opinion, but most people practice monogamy. Contemporary scholars do not recommend or encourage polygamy. Now, this brings me to my 2 special guests in our studios tonight. One is a 33-year-old serial tech entrepreneur who is born in Manchester, UK, to parents of a Pakistani origin and wants to change the way polygamy is being perceived. And he also believes that polygamy is the last remaining taboo in society. And he told me earlier that polygamy is also one of his favorite topics. So I welcome to Conversations of a Sister, Mr. Azad Chaiwala. Azad, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Oh, hi, Azad. Stand by for my second special guest, who is a native of Brooklyn, New York, and holds master's degrees in divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's also chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves and pastor of Antioch Christian Tabernacle in East Orange, New Jersey. I also welcome to the show Bishop Andre C. Austin. Bishop Austin, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening, Tracy. I'm glad to be part of the discussion of the conversation with us.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen, and again, welcome to the show. Azad, let me start with you. What makes you believe in polygamy? Tell us.
What makes me believe in polygamy? The fact, first of all, that it's already practiced in society so widely that people kind of, it's right underneath our noses and we miss it. And what makes me believe it is that what I want to do is take those existing practices of polygamy and kind of regulate it. Another thing that makes me believe is my nature. As a man, I believe that it's something that suits my nature. It suits most men's nature. And it's absolutely something, natural. That's what drives me to it. Actually, why is it something that is still considered a taboo? Why are we not actually practicing it openly?
Ooh. And why do you want to change the way polygamy is perceived? Because right now it is perceived as taboo, and people do turn their noses up to it, and they are shocked by this way of living, I'm going to say, here in the United States. So what is it you want to change about the way polygamy is being perceived?
I want to regulate it. I want to change its perception, and I want to kind of highlight the fact that it already is practiced. I think it's better for society if we actually practiced polygamy, but we did it properly. We don't do it the way. See, at the moment we know polygamy from certain like Warren Jeffs, and we know the Mormon sects, etc., where it's forced marriages, underage marriages, non-regulated, etc. It's almost like a cult, and that kind of puts a bad taste in our mouth. But if I was to show you the beautiful side of it, I mean, I've been on chat shows where I've went in as a stranger, as somebody who's like the evil one, and I've come back as the most talked to and, most liked guest on the show. It's because we've sat down and we've discussed it. Because we don't regulate it, we kind of, we don't even invite it into our homes, we get the bad side of polygamy. We don't get the actual, the benefits, the way it was actually recommended or practiced by a lot of the prophets in prophets of good, God, the best. Of men, the best men created, the best of men that walked the earth. The way they practice it, we need to practice it like that.
So now, let me ask you a question. How do you deal with, or when you look for a second, third, or fourth wife, does she have to be a virgin? Is it married? Is marrying single virgins a must? And do you need that consent of your first wife?
Now, first of all, definitely no. She doesn't have to be a virgin. She does not have to be widowed she could be either one of them, right? There's no set criteria. It's just somebody that you kind of gel with, somebody that kind of fits your criteria, somebody who you just get along with, somebody who wants to practice it with you and be part of your family. In terms of your wife's
consent.
It's best if you it's best if you bring her with you, and she kind of, because there's two ways of approaching it. See, myself, I knew I was a polygamist at the age of 12, and by the age of 22, before I even got married, I let my future in-laws and my wife know that, hey, look, I'm going to be practicing this, right? So I did it in the most honest, open way and gave everybody a choice. You don't have to marry me if you're not okay with this, right? Whereas mm-hmm. we'll find a lot of men who have married already, have not gotten and done what I did, and now they find themselves wanting to take on more wives. At that stage, I would highly recommend do whatever you need to do. Shower her with gifts and you know, and your best side and everything to make her comfortable and join in with the new union that you're going to create, the extension of your family, because she's still your family. She's still somebody that you're responsible for, to love and to care and to share your life. And you still, even after you marry, you'll still have to share, you know, you might have children by now. You still have to share your life. So it's, I highly, highly, highly recommend, do whatever you need to do is to get her on her on your side. And be very patient. Expect her to immediately.
Immediately go, when you say do what you have to do to get her on your side, you're talking about your first wife.
Yes, your first wife. Your first wife. So do whatever you need to do to convince her through scripture, through you know, generally why. Tell her why. Try to make her understand why it is, you know, why you think it's good, why you need to have more wives, etc. Now, not to say that there are not women out there. I mean, we have on our website many women that come with their husbands looking for a sister wife. Then we get certain women that specifically open a profile where they're looking for a wife for their husband. But those are very rare cases. In majority of the cases, women are jealous, women are uncomfortable, and this is a natural feature God put into them. And I recommend men be very, very patient, because it's, and a lot of women, if you were to take somebody on, their fear is that maybe he's doing it because there's some inadequacy in me. And what will my peers mm-hmm. think? What will my girls think? They will think, hey, look, he married because you were not good enough for him, you know? So you need to kind of, there's a lot of issues that do arise from this, and you need to first resolve them before you even step in the ladder of, on the journey of actually finding somebody.
And that's what I was going to, that's also what I was going to address with you. What about the emotional aspects of it? Like, how do you manage or regulate emotional fairness in a polygamy marriage? Because suppose your first wife thinks that you're giving more attention to the second, third, or fourth wife, and she feels as though she's being neglected. That's an emotional issue. So, I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you bring that in?
Well, with most people, I would expect them to be God-fearing. And after you've married, you need and you need to kind of know this, right? And this is, of course, me. This is what I'm trying to regulate it. I will later on give you examples of where polygamy already happens. But right now, let's say that they've done it through the right channels. They went to polygamy.com or any other service, or through friends and family, and they've found a suitor and they've agreed to marry and they've married. But what they need to do is, the gentleman who is actually marrying needs to spend his time equally between two wives or three wives or four, depending on however many he takes. He needs to share his time equally. He cannot show emotional feelings towards one wife in front of another. There's no such thing. If anybody's already thinking, you might as well scrap the idea if you're thinking about sexually, you know, having threesomes, etc., because that's not what polygamy is about. This is an honorable relationship, an honorable way of having more wives, an honorable way of extending your family, etc. Furthermore, your resources. If you buy one a house, you have to buy the other a house. If you buy one
yes.
a car, you have to
yes.
buy the other a car. It doesn't have to be necessarily the exact same thing, but it has to be of a similar value, similar kind of. So imagine if I have one wife with four children, I'll get her a five-bedroom house. And another one, I have two children, and don't have to buy her a five-bedroom house, but I have to give her something that's not only adequate but equal in stature, in the same neighborhood,
wow.
of, you know, similar kitchens, etc. And if you're not capable of doing that, then stick to just one. But, I, you know, so it's, polygamy is not for everybody.
One wife.
You have to, your time, your love, your feelings, and your financial resources must be shared out amongst all your wives.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Now, that brings me to Bishop Austin. Bishop Austin, between 1970 and 2001, the black marriage rate dropped by 34% compared to 17% in the general population. 42% of American women have never been married, compared to, I'm going to say 42% of American black women have never been married, compared to 21% of white American women. Bishop Austin, I mean, do you believe that there is a there is a black marriage crisis in the black community making some women open to polygamous unions. What's your take on that?
Well, definitely there is a problem in our social realm today. When you have the incarceration of many African-American men, okay, legitimately or illegitimately incarcerated, and some being held without due process, that does put a strain on society. But I'm going to say something. I was jotting down a couple of notes to our other guest. You said that the prophets practice polygamy and that is in the scriptures. I think one thing we need to understand, a very important point to remember, is that not everything recorded in the Bible is approved in the Bible. God put the word there for us to be able to discern what is right from wrong. Yes, polygamy can go all the way back to the Old Testament, but you have to first hear what God actually said. And God's word comes in very clear in the Genesis passage. Okay? And in the Genesis passage, he makes it clear. The two will become one flesh, not more than one. He meant for there to be one man and one woman. There are cases in the Bible whereby there are cases where the polygamy was practiced, okay, but that was not the initial intent by God. The problem we're facing is social. You know, we have to be guided by principles, okay? We can't just do anything we want to do. You have chaos, okay? Okay, and if we're going to be following a divine presence, okay, being a Christian minister, okay, my guidance comes from the Bible, the Word of God, okay? And the Bible teaches us to study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God, rightly dividing. So everything, there are things in the Bible that says, but does not mean that we are supposed to take up and follow. So the problem in our social realm today is that there is a drain. There's a bit of a sad drain. We have African-American men turning on themselves. We have African-American men who are incarcerated. And, yes, African-American women who are looking when they see that the vast resource may not be out there for them to choose from.
Mm. Wow. Azad, did you hear Bishop Austin? Bishop Austin is a little bit under the weather, which is why I'm sure his voice sounds a little hoarse. But
yes,
Azad, did you hear Bishop Austin in his position?
Yes, I did. Now, what I was going to say is that his voice is quite. I couldn't quite make out majority of the conversation, but I do respect the fact that he's ill. My comeback for that would be essentially, we know of about 24 prophets and messengers mentioned by name in the Bible, right? Or in the scriptures, let's say. And a quarter of them I can name almost that actually practice polygamy. Now, I think that, and I personally do a lot of things where I actually follow these prophets and these messengers because I say that these were the best of creation, these were the best of men, these were the best of husbands, best of leaders, best of fathers, and I need to imitate them. So if again, like the Honorable Bishop said, if it's everything is open to interpretation. So it's a case of what he interprets is one thing and what I interpret is another, you know?
I know about what he did. I know what he did say was that everything, we need to be accountable for something. We have to live according to order, or we should live according to order. But maybe that is what, a European concept in your opinion?
No, I think, when he's saying that we live by order, this is, again, what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to regulate polygamy. I'm trying to put some, fear of God into people and say, hey, look, be just with your wives. Be kind of equal with your wives. And if you can't do justice amongst them, then don't actually even go down this path.
I got a question.
Go ahead, Bishop.
You said the Christian scriptures. Are we using scriptures that is written by a particular version of the Bible? Because
no, I'm actually not a Christian.
Are you following the Quran?
I'm kind of mixing everything because the Quran is. I mean, not that you would maybe disagree. You would actually possibly disagree with this. But as a Muslim, we believe that the Quran is just the. I can't be a Muslim if I don't read the Bible and if I don't believe the Torah. So if I don't believe the previous two books, I can't be a Muslim. So as a Muslim, it's just a succession of the previous books. And in the Quran, it says that this is not a new message. It is exactly what's been repeated before, and we're just reaffirming it.
Okay, we are supposed to, you said interpret, and when we talk about interpretation, okay, I would like to hear your position on a particular scripture that tells why submit yourself unto your own husband, okay, and that the husband is to have one wife. This is directly out of God's word. So, how do you then justify, if we are to abide by what God is telling us to do, how do you justify having more than one wife would be, well, I believe, something directly against what God has told us not to do?
Tracy, I didn't quite make out what he said was he
directed you to Scripture, saying that if you're going according to Scripture, living by Scripture, the Bible clearly states that husbands should subject themselves to one wife. How do you justify living a polygamous lifestyle, knowing that that Scripture is also present in the Bible?
Later on, what I would recommend is that we move away from religion and we move to what actually the current state of relationships is. Just because the thing is, he's a learned Christian, and I'm just an ordinary Muslim. And my belief is that I have to respect both the scriptures. But the later one, which is the Quran, it supersedes the previous one. In the Quran, it says marry 2, 3, or 4. But if you feel that you will not be able to do justice amongst them, then marry one. And I don't know if the Honorable Bishop would agree. It's the only religious book that says marry one. There is no other book that clearly writes marry one. And before Islam even said marry 2, 3, or 4, prior to that, people were marrying 6, 7, right up to here. I live in England, and a lot of the viceroys here had 7, 8 wives. And this was just up to recently, and there was no limit placed. You were talked about the reality show. There is a reality show, Me and My 5 Wives. You know, that gentleman has exceeded that limit. In Islam, there is a limit of 4. But as a Muslim, I would say approximately 3% in 100 actually take 2 wives. I think 1 in 1,000 takes 3 wives, and I do not know personally of any case where a person takes 4 wives. But even then, at least there is a limit set. And even when there is a limit set, at least there are guidelines.
Now, let me ask you a question. In your marriages, or in more than one marriage, are you legally married to all of them or legally married to one? Because you can only be legally married to one at a time.
I would recommend don't be legally married to any of them. There's no need for it. If you're a Christian, go get married in the church. As long as in the eyes of God and in your community, you're saying, hey, look, I'm honorably in the open taking this lady as my wife. I swear that I will take care of her. I will, love her. I will share my life with her. That's enough. As long as your peers, your community, your friends, your family see that and kind of recognize that union, I don't think you need a legal paper from the state to say anything otherwise, or that you love this person or you want to share your life with this person.
Right, and I do understand that some people are not governed by their state in order to take more than one wife. Bishop Alston, a question for you.
Tracy,
I am running out of time.
If I wanted to have more than one girlfriend, would anybody be bothered? If I wanted to go hire 2, 3, 4, 5 prostitutes and have a good night with them, would that be anybody's business?
I'm just going on that basis, at least we're regulating it.
What you do with your life is your business. So as I said earlier, There has to be some type of structure, some type of guidance, a divine presence in your life that takes you from a point to the next point. And I can't see where that would be considered honorable when there are multiple relationships going, okay, simultaneously.
And then again, I'm saying it's just open to interpretation. It's just open to interpretation of the text.
Well, basically you're following the problem is this. If there are states, the Bible says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, give unto God what is God. Okay? We have to abide by state laws too. Okay? Otherwise, we would be breaking the law. Now, if I'm hearing you correctly, in the United States, I only know of one area where it has been challenged, where they're having multiple relationships called marriages, and that was in the state of Utah. Everywhere else, it's against the law. And because it's allowed in Utah, it's because of the practice of a particular religion, it's my understanding, which are Mormons. But anywhere else, it's considered the breaking of the law. So now, do you believe that we should follow? Otherwise, it would be just a common law marriage where, and even the states now have recognized that if you're with someone 7-8 years, it's really considered common law marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True. Now, at no point am I saying that, hey, go break a law. Respect the law.
Okay.
So don't
go
do it legally. Do it on a personal basis. Do it outside of the law. So you're not bothering the law because it's illegal when you do it, when you have two, it's bigamy when you have two legal marriages, and that is not permitted. The key word here is legal. And I'm saying, let's not even bother the law. Live God. A lot of things, you know, better things to do than actually worry about you and your relationships and how you treat your wife or your wives, etc. You know? So let's not bother them and just keep it purely on in a communal basis.
Okay.
Within the community.
As a Christian minister, then I would be challenged, okay, if someone came to me and wanted to do it that way, because of the fact that I would be obligated, as a follower of the scriptures, to abide by what God has said. So there would be a contradiction. So to even go to someone who represents the church, okay, he or she would have to somehow reconcile that it's proper to do that in the eyes of God.
That's true, but you earlier said that it's a matter of interpretation. The Mormons, you're referring to them as Mormons, but if you ask a Mormon, he will say, I'm a Christian. He's just another sect of Christianity. And whatever Warren Jeffs, etc., was following, if you stopped him and asked him, and he will say, look, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in God, etc., and I am also Christian, but I am a Christian of blah, blah, blah sect. Sorry, blah, blah, as in such and such sect. But at the end of it, the core of it is, they interpreted the same text in one way, and you interpreted it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Am
yes,
I
that is
correct,
correct
in saying that?
That is correct. Yes, you are correct in saying that, because I've heard almost every side of the coin. And as good as this conversation was tonight, gentlemen, I am running out of time, but I thank you both so much for sharing your views on polygamy in 2016. I think that we are going to have a part two of this subject when Bishop Austin's voice is a little bit better, Azad. So I'm going to have Carolyn reach out to you as well as to Bishop Austin, and we're going to continue a part two when he's just a little bit better. Hopefully that will be in the coming week.
I apologize. I have just got up my sick bed just today.
No, don't worry. It's in your hands. Don't worry.
I apologize. My voice is not strong, but I would love to continue this dialogue.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Next time, what I would like to speak about is the current state and the goodness that we can drive from it. I mean, if we go on to religion, it's a conversation that is endless. There is nobody correct and there's nobody wrong in it. We just want to talk about what is the current state of relationships and how this polygamy can benefit from, how we can benefit from it. And then everybody makes their own judgment.
Okay,
and we will do that in the weeks to come. Gentlemen, I thank you so much. Listeners, I thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, good night and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.